Blog Talk Radio.
Just listen to our national anthem. This is your host, Brother Elohim, and we are coming to you live out of Philadelphia. Okay. Those of you who are chiming in earlier, I want to thank you very much. Now, the topic of today is going to be economics and religion. Boy, oh boy, do we need to cover those two topics. So many of us are broke out the door, don't have no money to do anything with. So it's very important that we understand the tricks that's being played on us so we can so we can do what we have to do. See, we have a few excuse me. Have a few less callers here today. Must be because of that. We got a game, got a big Phillies game in the city today. I had most of your chiming in, so that's good. Okay. Now, we always start our show off with our number one topic because I believe this is a problem in most of our communities, which they, especially in a black community, but it's not so. It's pretty much the same in every community. We just get more attention, negative attention. They put more negative attention on the black community. But the problems that we have are nationwide because of the culture and what they're teaching. Okay? So we're going to spend a few minutes, as usual, first on love. Okay? Now, what is love? Love is the act that makes others feel good. Okay? Now, why is that so important? Because if everybody focused on what made the other person feel good, what would be the problem in a relationship? You wouldn't have any because you would never do anything that would not make the other person feel good. Now, I've had some teachers say, oh, man, there's like 30, 40, 50 kinds of love. You know, that's a little complicated. See, now, complication is a trick of the wicked. Trick of the 1% to keep us confused so that we don't really understand what's going on. But understand this, there's only one emotion triggered by different acts, okay? Based on the acts that being committed against you, that's how you're labeling the emotion. But there's only one emotion, you see? If somebody triggers a bad act to you, then you label the emotion as being mad or angry or jealous or frustrated. You see what I'm saying? Whatever act that they have committed on you, this is what you're calling an emotion. But there's only really one emotion. You follow what I'm saying? So if everybody was conscious of the acts that they were committing against, then that emotional outburst that takes us into a negative thought process, it would never be there. Can you imagine if both the male and the female in a relationship never did anything that didn't make the other person feel good? Of course, you have to spend some time with each other to learn what makes you feel good, what makes you don't feel good. But both parties have to learn. If we follow the teachings and the methodology of this culture, you can see what's happening. The divorce rate in the church, divorce rate out of the church, it doesn't matter. People can't stay together. If you get in a relationship with somebody and you say, well, baby, it's going to be just me and you, okay? Well, anything you go outside of that commitment, it's not going to make them feel good. So you wouldn't deal with other females. You wouldn't deal with other guys because it doesn't make the other person feel good, okay? If you say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and you sit down and you agree on how you're going to plan your life together, well, you don't go against that because it's not going to make the other person feel good. Now, what would you have to be divorced about? Okay? What would you have to argue about? What would you have to be mad at each other about? Absolutely nothing. Okay? When you sit down with your mate, you have to, especially if you're young, you have to talk about how you're going to raise the children, what you're going to raise the children as, how you're going to push the children, what you're going to do with the children, because it's going to come up if you have children. All right? You need to, when you hook up with the person, learn as much as you can about the person. Now, a lot of us do that, but they push buttons. Well, I want to see if they get mad. If they get mad, that means they like me. No, you've just done something to not make them feel good. And not only will they like you, but they're going to like you less because you've just done something to bring out an emotion that they're going to attach a negative thought to it. See what I'm saying? So every time that comes up, they're going to attach that negative thought to that emotion. And that emotion, now, here's something that a lot of us don't know about the heart. The heart has a neural net in it that speaks to the brain, okay? Now, and your heart gives off the hormones. And if the hormones, these hormones make you feel good, or these hormones make you feel bad. You can be walking down the street and you can feel something that just don't feel right. You see what I'm saying? Something has happened in that area, or something has happened to you, and that hormone kicks in when you get in that area and you said something just not right here, you know? And you can feel that something's wrong, or you've been through a certain process with a person and you've learned certain things about when you go into that process, and these that hormone kicks in, and it will protect you against the negative things that have happened to you while you were going through that process. And that's what's going on. We've been calling it intuition, but we've been calling it women's intuition, but it's a hormone. And women, because of the mother thing that they have to deal with, those hormones, they understand and recognize the hormones pretty quickly, you know. Whereas the guys, it takes them a little while to understand the difference in the hormones as they come out, but the females recognize it pretty fast. So they have a feeling about what's going on, you know. You can just meet a female for the first time and she said, nah, this ain't the guy. Something just don't feel right here. And same thing with the guys. You can be with a female for a little bit and you say, well, something's a little wrong here. I just don't feel it, you know. They'll say this, I just don't feel it. That's that hormone kicking in, because there's something about you that have created a negative emotional response to them in the past from somebody else. So here's a trick. When you first meet somebody, you spend most of the time convincing them that they're not the other guy or the other girl, because they think you're going to treat them the way the other guy treated them or the way the other girl treated them, and that's why they're not together with them. And they got to make sure that you ain't that person, or you ain't that guy or that girl. So when you enter into a relationship, you know, if you like the person, your vibes are good, you really have to tell them what love is, because if they function out of love, dealing with the way the culture has taught them, your relationship is going to be kind of tough. Now, some guys, they get into the relationship and things happen and they learn and they adjust very quickly. So, oh, I ain't going to do that no more. She really didn't like that. Or he really didn't like that. You know, the girls adjust too. And if you're able to adjust and try to do things to please them, and if she's trying to do things to please you, then the relationship can last for a pretty long time, okay? But just remember that love is the act that makes others feel good, and you have to get that message to your partner. You have to get that message to your children, because they need to know that, you know? You don't just be pushing buttons to see how the person feels. How the person is treating you, that tells you how they feel. That shows you what's going on, whether they like you, don't like you, you know. Now, sometimes, you know, these brothers and sisters be gaming each other. You know, that's part of the culture. They be playing each other for suckers and all that stuff. Well, it will be their loss if they do that, okay? Because you're coming in with an open mind, an open heart. And you're giving them 100%. You're treating them like you're supposed to treat them. And if they don't respond like they were supposed to, and you wind up walking away from them, is their loss, not yours, because you're in the right place doing what you're supposed to be doing, and that person wasn't wise enough to really see and understand what they had, okay? And so basically that's what's going on. But just remember, there's only one emotion triggered by different acts. To give you an example, you know when you first meet somebody, man, y'all treat each other real good. I'm going to take her out to dinner. I'm going to cook for my man and make her feel good and all that. And everything is beautiful. Then y'all get together, you have sex and a relationship, and y'all hanging out. Then all of a sudden, the other shoe drops. Who in the world is this person? I never met this person before. And you're trying not to lose them based on how you felt about the way they was treating you last year. But this year is a whole different ballgame. And after about the third year, you said, nah, I got to move on. I don't know who this person is. When you first get together and the way you're treating each other, that's the love. That's what love is. if you keep that up, that they got together with you because of the way you were treating them in the beginning. And if they hook up with you because of that, that's what you have to keep going. Somehow you have to keep that going, you know. Don't change that, because that's what attracted them to you. That's what made them bond with you, you know. But you have to get the message. Both, you have to get that message very quickly if the relationship is going to last, okay? Now, I wanted to go completely into that. We got a few new callers here. I see quite a few numbers here. So I wanted to make sure I went through the whole process of love, so that, because that's one of the messages that I really have to, actually, that's a main message. Because as a community, as a group, as a family, we can't get together unless we know what love is. And as long as we're acting out of love and not treating each other the way we're supposed to treat each other, then then we're going to have problems, fussing, fighting. Some, we only see each other on our funerals and birthdays, you know. Our funerals and weddings. Some of us don't even come to each other's birthdays, but funerals and weddings are when we're getting together. And a lot of times we get together during those times, and there's a lot of problems and stuff going on. So only because this culture is not teaching us correctly, or not giving us the right message to lock our emotions in, so that we can judge each other properly as we're going through this thing. I've spent quite a bit of time on that. I don't spend that much time, but I wanted to go through that because of the new caller that we have on the line. Now, now let's get into the main topic. The main topic is economics, okay? Now, the first question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is economics? Because the message is that the 1% is trickling down to you, and to borrow a phrase from Ronald Reagan, the message that the 1% is trickling down to you is what's causing you to be economically impaired, okay? Now, they talk about microeconomics, macroeconomics, and they talk about all this stuff about economics, and you're actually confused, because they make complication as what they use to trick you. And everything, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's really, really simple once you start thinking about it properly, once you enter into the right thought process, okay? Now, regardless of what they're telling you about economics, economics is somebody else working and paying, pretty simple, you know? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. If you don't have somebody working and paying your rent, or your money's working for you, making money, or you have a book on the market, or you have a CD on the market, or you're doing a magazine, or you're doing something. If you don't have something working and paying you money, what you have is a job. Now, a job is not economics, but a job is a means to get economics, okay? Now, I'm going to go through the full message about the economics today, because it's kind of important, especially if we have children, especially young children that hasn't gotten out of high school yet, okay? Now, most of us, okay, we're the 99%, all right? Now, that's going to be very important later on. You're going to hear more and more people talking about, yes, I'm a 99%. They don't worry about race, ethnicity, what country from, or nothing that. I'm just a 99%. And the 99% have to start working together. But what I'm saying is, when you start dealing with economics, okay, the first thing you have to do, you have to get into the 50% budget. That's number one, okay? They tell you, oh, save 10%. Soon something happens, that 10% is gone. This 10% is not going to work at all. So you have to engage in the 50% budget. Now, how does that work? All of your liabilities, all of your assets, let's say it another way, your income and your expenses. We say it like that, okay? Now, your income, your expenses should be half your, I'm going to say that again, your expenses, everything from your toilet paper to your shoe polish, nails, whatever you're doing, getting your hair done, whatever you're trying to do, all of that should be half of your income. The other half you need to save so that you can get into things that will give you residual income. All right, now let's stop right there for a minute. What's residual income, you might say? Okay, let's answer that question. If I buy a house and rent it out, I don't have to buy the house ever again, you see? And the people renting there will pay me as long as they're staying there, as long as I have the house. That's residual income. You spend your money one time, and you can reap on it over and over and over and over. If I make a CD, don't have to make that CD again. As long as they're buying that CD, I'm going to be making money. So I got residual income off the CD from royalties and everything else. If I take my money and invest it in the stock market, then that money, whatever stocks I have, if that stock keep going up, then my money's going to keep making money. That's residual income. If you got to get up every day, go to work from 9 to 5, you don't have residual income. What you have is a job. Now, that's a means to get residual income. That's the means to get paid, okay? So what you do, if you deal with the 50% budget, and you go to work, you start saving your money towards residual income, all right? Now, if you're saving your money towards getting residual income, you can retire whenever you want to. You are now in an unlimited capacity to make money. Do you need the bank? Not really. In actuality, the bank needs you. You don't need the bank. Most of us put our money in the bank. The only time we use the bank is when we go to get our money out and swipe the card. And they're charging you for that. You see what I'm saying? You don't actually need the bank. You just need to not broadcast to people that you're saving your money around the house or wherever you're keeping it at. Okay? But you don't actually need the bank. You don't need to borrow money from the bank. The only time you borrow money from the bank is when you don't need it and you got a risky investment, you know. So you want to risk the bank's money rather than yours. So if anything happened, the bank will take the building and whatever you bought and all that, and they'll just take that back. But your money is safe someplace. But you do have the money to do it yourself if you wanted to. So the only time you borrow money from the bank is when you don't need it. You don't borrow money from the bank when you need it, because if you slip, everything you've been working for is gone, see? So if you borrow money from the bank when you don't need it, if you slip, the bank will take that, and you still got the money to do it again if you want. You got a backup, you know what I'm saying? So that's basically how you deal with the bank, and that's how the banks deal with you. That's why they want when they give you a loan, they want to collateralize it. So do you have enough so that if you don't pay us our money back, we can come take what you got and get our money. You got to be one up on the bank. You don't follow what the bank is telling you to do. You have to be one step ahead of what's going on. Only borrow from the bank if you don't need it. Now, let's deal with the children. The children don't have money to go to college and all that kind of stuff, so how do they get it? They got these little jobs out here at McDonald's, Geno's. Well, I'm saying Geno's, I guess that's telling my age. But you got McDonald's, you got Arby's and all these places. They pay $10 an hour. Okay, that's about, what, $10,000, $20,000 a year. That's about $10,000 a year, okay? So you work two jobs. This is what you tell your children to do. Don't go after that career thing, because you don't want a career. You want to create residual income, and a residual income will pay you forever, and you can start working whenever you feel like it, so that the job don't determine how you live. Get into that a little later, too. So you tell the children, work the two jobs. Live off one and save the other. Now, if each job pays $10,000 a year, in 2 years you have $20,000. Now, do you follow what the 1% is telling you and go to the real estate office to buy a house? No, you don't do that. They have back doors that you go to. One back door, sheriff sales. Another back door, foreclosures. There's a third back door, tax liens, but you have to be careful. There's some problems in the tax lien. You have to be careful when you go in that area, okay? But the two best ways is foreclosures and sheriff sale, okay? That's the two best ways to get that money, to get the property so that you can rent the property out to do whatever you have to do, okay? So you tell the children, look for a three-story property. Make the first floor and basement. That's like having a two-story house. And you mac that out, and that's where you live at. You rent the other two floors out. Now you have residual income that's paying all your electric, your gas, your phone, your car note, and everything else. So you're basically living for free. Now you get two or three more of those. Now you got enough money to go to college, you can get your books, and you're not dependent on parents that don't have the money to help get you through college. And when you get out of college, you're not stuck with a whole bunch of loans and stuff. These children are trapped in this vicious cycle because nobody's giving them the proper message. Well, you know the 1% ain't gonna give them to them. They love making money off these children coming out of college that's strapped with all these loans. So this bypasses that. Now, sometimes it might take the child a couple of years to get to school, but they're going to school debt free, and that's what it's all about, you know, being debt free. That's what it's all about, and you can live debt free, but you have to have the right message about economics. Now, here's another thing that the 1% is trickling down to us that we haven't figured out. They tell us, well, I'm trying to get 18, get them out of the house. I'm going to go find a place to live and all that. Don't rush your children to get out of the house. Let them stay there as long as they can. I'm sure they have to go to work. They can't stay there all day long playing video games. You know, they have to have a mission. They have to have a purpose. Where does that purpose come from? It comes from the parents. You have to instill this into your children when they're little. I have a grandson, right? He's 8 years old, and his little brother was trying to take his money. He said, no, that's my 50% budget. See what I'm saying? So if you give it to them, they'll learn. It'll be inside of them. It'll automatically kick in at one point. Nobody knows when the information ought to kick in. That's really up to the children. But if you give them the information early enough, they'll be working towards that particular goal. So don't push your children out the house too fast. Work with them, help them, you know, and when they're ready to go, they'll go. You see what I'm saying? Because a child can stay with you, give you a little money for rent, follow what I'm saying? And then they have a support network as far as living, and they can work and save that money. And that's what you want the children to do. You got to tell them it's not how much you make. It's how much you save. That's what, you got people making $100,000 a year living paycheck to paycheck. And you got people making $20,000 a year and moving like moving up on a scale, saving money, doing what they have to do. They get the $100,000, they start getting these big old houses, these big fancy cars, and because they can afford it, but they can't afford it. See, they can afford it as long as nothing goes wrong. As soon as the economy collapses, stock market go down, they're in trouble. They lose the 501k, everything is gone. Now they're struggling again. Okay, they done lost their job, and they're stuck. So you can live from paycheck to paycheck if you're making $10,000 a year or $200,000 a year. It depends on the information and the thought process that you're going through to take you through what you have to go through. Okay. So this is the message or the information. This is the message that you push down through your generations. And it's not about a career. It's about that money. Now, it's nice to do something that you really like to do. If you're going to college for something that you like to do, that's great. Now you got your property on the side. You're making plenty of money. But you're working in this capacity not because you have to. You just enjoy going on inventing stuff, working on scientific projects and stuff like that with the government or with a company or whatever you're doing. Some people like dealing with computers and all that stuff, you know. So if you're working in a place like that and you're having fun and you're enjoying it, stop working. Even though you're making plenty of money someplace else, you can keep working. But you can retire whenever you get ready, see. Your retirement is not tied into the system. Because you have you're making enough residual income to do what you have to do. Now, a message to some of the older folks out here. You're talking about retiring, you know. You're 65, going on 70 years old. You know, you're ready to retire. Well, 65, most of us are already retired. But you're talking about retiring, but you haven't saved enough money to live for 40 years. So some of you, why I'm having to go back to work again, getting another job, and you're struggling with a little SSI money on your pension, and you're struggling with it, you know? You have to start planning early. See, how do you want to retire? What kind of place you want to live at? How much is it going to cost you to live there per year? And what you're going to need for the next 40 years? Because I know when you retire, you don't plan on dying the next couple of years, although the way we eat, a lot of us do. But so you have to plan how much money I'm going to need. You might need $300,000 or $400,000 to go for the next 40 years based on the lifestyle that you want to retire in. So that's what you have to plan for. You get the residual income, you're still working, and you save that $200,000 or $300,000 so that you can retire on. You know, you try to retire on $80,000, you're in trouble. Because $80,000 won't take you that long. Now, if you're not trying to go into real estate, now we're not trying to tell everybody to go into real estate, but if you just buy two houses and rent out, two houses that maybe cost $80,000, $90,000, you buy two houses and you rent them out, and the people living in the houses are paying the mortgage. You understand what I'm saying? So that when you're ready to retire, you have two houses worth $80,000. That's $160,000. You sell those houses, $160,000, plus whatever you save to retire on, just by buying two properties, rent them out, and let somebody else pay for them. So it's not about going into real estate. It's about using the real estate to your advantage. And this is what this message is today. I went through the whole spectrum here because economics is what we're talking about. That's on the main topic today, economics. So right now, at this particular juncture, we're about halfway through. I'm going to we're going to do our little commercial here, and then we're going to get into religion. Oh, boy, that's a big one, boy. I'm telling you. They tell you when you're small, don't talk about religion and politics. You'll wind up killing each other. But those are the two things that we really need to get into, because those are things that are actually controlling and running our lives, okay? So I hope the message on economics was pretty clear. And we're going to do a little commercial here, so we'll be right back in a few minutes. And just hang in there. And all those who are checked in, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for being on the line. We'll be right back in a few minutes, okay? This is the Elohim Radio Show. We're here every Sunday at 3 p.m. U.S. time. Our calling number is 646-564-9888. And if you want to make a comment, when it's time to make a comment, you just press 1, and that will let me know that you have a comment to make, and we'll put you right on the air, okay? Now, we did not mention your name unless you want us to. We only use the last four digits of your phone number. And if you have a company or a group and you want to give us a shout out and give us a name or phone number of your group or wherever you're with, then all you have to do is push your hand up, and then you can just give us a little commercial about what you're doing and what's going on, and that's fine, okay? Now, we released our first gospel CD, which you're hearing part of it in the background, okay? It's called Jesus is Coming CD, and the link is cdbaby.com/Elohim Christ 2. Okay, that's the number two. So check it out. We ask ourselves, when is Jesus coming back, and where is he coming from? Well, we think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess's womb. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. The child you keep might just be the one to get us out of this mess we're in. So don't forget. We need those babies. We need as many babies as we can. We need those babies. And dad, when the babies come in, hang in there with sisters, okay? And you hang in there and you help take care of these babies, because they're our salvation, believe it or not, okay? And don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures, Part 2, A Christ Has Come. For more information on the CD or book, just call TCCA at 215-294-0223 from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And now after this show, we have one of our very prestigious brothers that come on. The Will I Am show comes on every Sunday right after this show, okay? Now, the call-in number for that is 218-632-0460, and the PIN number is 726-476-87#, okay? When you call in, the operator will tell you what to do, okay? Now, Will I Am, his brother, talks about everything under the sun. He's like a walking encyclopedia. And if you have trouble, legal problems, Will I Am is the best one to call. He seems to know a lot about that, too. He's an amazing, amazing person. So if you're around at 4 o'clock after we leave, give him a shout out. And if you need the number again, just put your hand up and I'll give it to you again, okay? I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his Black History book, When Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and he helps fill in the missing pages, because there's a lot missing in our history that the 1% don't want you to know about, okay? The reason I say 1% and not white folks is because the 1% come in all colors. They're a global institution, and they it's not limited to white, black, green, or pink. It's only limited to economics and what they're trying to do and setting up their global empire, okay? Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Legacy of the Nation show, hosted by Brother Mac and Son, well, father-son combination, which is good. They come on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. We talk about black history, health, economics, and politics. So call in. Their number is 347-677-1533. I'd like to give a shout-out to Nikki Love, the Nikki Love show that comes on. Let's see, I want to go too far here. Okay. Nikki Love, she's a spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call-in number for her show is 347-215-8040. And you can also get her at her website. That's NikkiLoveWunom.com, W-N-O-M.com. And she's very strong. She's a good reader. I like what she's doing. And hopefully when you check her out, you'll like her too, okay? We also have the Black Cross Nurses, Division 178 at 53rd and Girard out of Philadelphia. And boy, do we need our black nurses. We need some help because the doctors are killing us, okay? Now, it's headed by Masima Muhammad. The calling number is 215-796-0366, okay? So you can give her a call and find out what's going on with the Black Cross Nurses down in Philadelphia, 178, okay? Now, we'd like to give a shout-out to RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, call 609-638-5828, and he will take care of you, trust me. I would like to give a shout out to Thomas Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old school style out of Philadelphia, has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google CD Baby, then type in Yesterday's Child, or you can call Thomas Thornton for more information at 267-259-4077, okay? And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to the Heaven-Bound Gospel Singers, who have just released their new CD called The Reflections. For more information on the album, how to book the group, call Patrick at 215-47-1419. I've seen these guys throw down, and what a treat. What a treat it was for me there. So treat yourself. Go and check them out. Give Patrick a call to find out where they're going to be playing at next, okay? I would also like to give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors. A lot of us are sick, and we're going to the mainstream hospitals, and they're really not doing the job that they need to be doing. So I would like for you to call Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. Also, Dr. Bill, his number is 61-561-3864. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these specialists, you deserve what you have. No, we don't really want you to be sick. But I don't think nobody deserves to be sick. But give them a call. And don't worry. You call them, you'll be healthy. Okay? Now, boy, I just had a mouthful, didn't I? I'm going to have to get that down. I'll get that down on the CD or something and just play it, you know. Now, the next portion of the show, we're talking about religion, okay? Now, usually at this half of the show, you have the mics are open. You can press one and ask questions. So this is the question portion of the show. So if you have a question or something during this portion of the show, just hit one on your mic, and I'll let you you can come on and ask your questions, and we can do a little dialogue, chit-chat back and forth that you want, okay? What is the same in all religions? That's my first question for the day. No matter what religion you get into, there's one thing that's the same: process. Now, what thought process am I talking about? Less than, not equal to, your God, okay? Wow, you got to have a God. Well, it depends on the thought process. You know, there's a reason why they want you with that thought process, okay? Now, why did the signers of the Constitution make church and state separate, okay? Why do we have freedom of religion, okay? Because as long as you have the thought process that you're less than and not equal to, they will give you somebody to worship, Okay? Every religion you go into, I don't care what country you go into, what state you're from or where, they have a God for you. They have that thought process because it's very important to them. Because once they give you that thought process, okay, rather than you hook up directly with Source like Jesus was telling us to do, rather you hook up directly like that, they want to have an intermediary between you and your power base. So they have an intermediary for you, okay? Islam, we got Allah. The Christians are promoting Jesus as the intermediary. Then you have Buddha as the intermediary. You have Hare Krishna as the intermediary. You have Madame Blavatsky as the intermediary. And it just goes on and on through the Kabbalah and all the books. All of them have an intermediary for you, okay? Now, people ask me, well, why do you like the teachings of Jesus so much? Are you a Bible thumper? Jesus was giving it to us like it really was. But the interpreters of the books, okay, got us going crazy, you know. Same thing with the Quran. Interpreters of the Quran got us going crazy. We really don't understand who's who and what's what because they want to be the intermediary for you. And you listen to them, most of them, they say, well, God told me so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, how come God ain't talking to you? Telling you the same thing he's telling them. Something's wrong here. You are literally connected to the power base. You don't need an intermediary. Peter, he asked Jesus, when is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The power that you need is within you. But countries, the 1%, they need you with the thought process that there is somebody greater than you that you have to go to. And who do you think that somebody is? That somebody is the ones that they put up to be greater than you. Oh, I got to go to the doctor. Oh, I got to go to a lawyer. Oh, I got to go to the Indian chief. You got to go someplace because there's always something greater than you that you have to rely on rather than rely on your own self to do the things that you have to do. You can study. The internet's available. So they got so much stuff available for you right now that the knowledge is out there. I want to give a shout out to my sister. I lost my sister a couple of days ago. I told her 3 years ago what to do to cure what she had. She didn't listen. She listened to the doctor. I told her exactly what the doctors were going to do. They're going to operate, chemo, whatever they got to do, and get that money, and then they're going to send her home to die. And that's exactly what they did, okay? And when we got her, it was just too late. Her mindset was that, oh, I'm going to die, so I'm out of here, you know. So what I'm saying to you, you have to do the research for you. Nobody knows more about what you need or what you want than you, okay? The time is running kind of fast here, so I'm going to have to skip a couple of things. Now, the next thing is, what is a slave master, okay? Now, when you think about it, anybody that wants to lead you is a slave master. And what we have been doing is trading one slave master for another, okay? Jesus did not want to be your leader, okay? Jesus knew he wasn't the ultimate power. He said, my Father is greater than I. That's what I'm saying. He said, he does the work. How does he do the work? The work is because his energy is flowing through me. That's how the work is getting done. That's what he told Peter. That's what I'm saying. He directed the people to inside themselves. That's where the power is coming from. Was he arrogant? No. He said, he had eaten from me. Will become a son indeed, and greater works than I did, you would do. See what I'm saying? So Jesus knew what was up. But your ministers and preachers and teachers aren't giving it to you like that, right? You're getting it so that you have the thought process that you're less than and not equal to. If the kingdom of heaven is within you and the power is inside you, there's nothing greater than you, period. Because you're connected to Source. You're connected to the energy. You're connected to whatever you need, okay? Now, what is a slave? A slave is somebody that constantly depends on somebody, okay, who they think is so much greater than them that they can't do it for themselves. That's a slave. And we have in common slaves, Okay. Now, I quote the teachings of Jesus a lot because I like the teachings of Jesus. So, but he's telling people, you know, he's telling people the right thing to do and the right way to think. He said, when I come to you, he said, I will call you not servants, because the servant knows not what the master do. See? So he didn't want you to be a servant. He didn't mind you serving, but he didn't want you to be a servant. It is different. See what I'm saying? If you sitting, if I got what I need and I'm rolling in it, see what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with serving you. But when you call me, whereas my livelihood depends on you and I have to serve you to survive, now I become a servant. See? So if I have extra money and stuff, I want to go and serve somebody, give somebody some food and all that, well, that's fine. Because my livelihood is not depending on me serving you. So I'm not your servant. I'm coming to serve you, but I'm not your servant. See what I'm saying? And this is what they be – see, this is the messages that we're getting from a lot of our teachers and ministers are causing us to lose track of where the actual power is coming from, and that we have so much power in us that we can use and do what we have to do, okay? Now, here's the next question. What is evil? Okay? Evil is when somebody forced their will upon you. That's evil. Now think about that for a minute. Boy, that is so simple. Evil is when somebody else is forcing their will on you. Remember how this country got started? Think about it. They came here and forced their will on the indigenous people that were here. So the people came here, they came here out of evil. They didn't come here out of love. Not doing things you think, killing and murdering and putting chemicals in the Indians' blankets, or so-called Indians, putting that in the indigenous people's blankets, made them feel good. They didn't come here out of love. They came here out of evil. They came here to force their will on the people here and turn them into indentured servitude. That's what I understand, and that's what happened. This is an evil empire. You know, and they're setting up evil empires all over the planet. Why? Because they're not telling you what evil is. They're telling you that there's some guy sitting under the ground someplace, sitting on a hot rock, drinking tea, waiting for your souls to come down so he can torment you to death. That's not how it works. So when you look at them, you don't see evil because you don't know what evil is. So you don't know how they're affecting you in an evil manner. Now, how are they forcing evil on you without us even knowing? Money. Money is how they're forcing you to do things. Most of the 99% would live in better conditions if they had the money. So they make sure that they control the revenue stream so that they can force you to do what they want you to do. That's what's going on. They force you to live in certain communities based on your economic structure. Well, based on the job. See what I'm saying? Because most of us are thinking that a job is economics. Why do we think that way? Because when the government sets up, like Obama and everybody, oh, we got to create jobs. We need jobs for economics. Think about what a job is. When you go to work on a job, you make money and pay the government taxes. You're working and paying somebody else. See? That, so we're economic. A job is economic for the government, but it's not economic for you because you're working and paying the government taxes like people are working and paying you rent. You know what I'm saying? So when they talk about economics, they talk about something totally different than what you're talking about, what you're thinking about. The thought process is different because they know what economics is. And the more jobs they create, the more economics is turned back over to the government in the form of tax. So they're forcing by control. When the middle class was getting too uppity, getting too powerful, what did they do? Bush and them enacted some different laws to relax some of the statutes so that they can steal the money from the middle class through the housing industry. That's what economics is. People lost their houses. They was giving people overcharging for the houses, knowing that they couldn't pay for it. And they came in and just took everything. And then what happened? After they committed all these crimes against the middle class, what did the government do? The government paid them off because they said they were too big to fail. Not true. But the government paid. They got paid for robbing and stealing the people's money. See what I'm saying? So this is how they're forcing you to do evil. This is how evil is forcing you into situations without you even knowing about it. If you don't have a job, hey, some of us, powerful as are, we sleeping on the street because we can't get work. Because they're redlining certain districts where you can't get the money. They're blocking certain people that can't, so that you can't get jobs. This is how they're controlling what's going on. This is how evil works. Evil works through the monetary system. So you have to get on, you have to get ahead of this. You have to get on top of this, okay? Now, how do we fight evil? Oh, boy, that's a good question. How do we fight evil? We fight evil with love. I say, wait a minute, man. This guy coming at me with all this stuff, and I'm going to give him love. Think about Gandhi for a minute, okay? The British was in control of the country. Gandhi didn't use evil against the Britons. He used love. He said, hey, we're just not going to work no more. We're just not going to do it. We're going to put all our energy into our own people. Follow what I'm saying? And when they asked him, well, how you going to get us to get out? He said, hey, you're just going to get up and leave. Because once they couldn't commit evil against the people through the monetary system, see, Gandhi had them making their own salt, had them making their own clothes. They stopped buying their clothes, stopped buying their salt. They started to use the money for themselves to protect themselves against evil. And the British, what else could they do but leave? They ain't making no money. Without the money, they can't control the population. They had to get out of there and find another way to do this thing, okay? So they started selling the military aid and all that kind of stuff and got one group fighting another group, and now they're making money again off military stuff. But it all comes down to the money. That's how they're doing things. Now, what are we doing? Let's deal with the black community for a second, okay? How do we spend our money? You know, we can't spend our money on ourselves because we're not growing the products and stuff, okay? So this is how they're keeping you, this is how evil is keeping you in a subservient position without you even knowing what's going on. Don't need the banks, okay? Jesus is telling you that the power is in you. You have the power to accomplish whatever you will. That's how powerful you are, okay? And if you deal with the teachings of Jesus the way Jesus is giving it to you. That's why I tell people, when you read the Bible from cover to cover, just go in there by yourself. Don't just be listening to what the preacher saying, get his interpretation. You go in and you read for yourself, learn what's going on. Same thing with the Quran, Bhagavad Gita. I read all these books. You know, you go in and you read for yourself what's going on. Buddha didn't start out the way the Buddhist is acting right now. Muhammad didn't start out the way the Muslims is acting right now. Jesus didn't start out the way the Christians is acting right now. Jesus never collected a tithe. Why you got to give tithes? That's something that Moses did. Jesus came and stopped all that. See what I'm saying? So they calling Jesus, but they're taking you back to Moses. You know what I'm saying? Jesus didn't collect charity from all these people. It's okay to give charity. Jesus said, ain't nothing wrong with giving charity. But don't make charity something that forces you to give charity every doggone week, you know, when you might not have to do it. One of the best examples, you might not believe this, but you can listen. Go and check it out. One of the best examples that we have of following the teachings of Jesus was Father Divine. I did some research on him last week, you know. He didn't take no money from the people. He didn't collect no tithes. He didn't collect no charity. He found a way to do business so that the people could have money rather than take money from the people. This is, now we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, Yahshua ben Pedara. That's his actual full name. Now we're talking about his teachings, okay? So what I'm saying, the message that I'm trying to drop here today is that you have to go in and do the research for yourself. You have to learn. You have to study. And you can't just take somebody else's interpretation for what's going on, okay? And that's so important, okay? Now, here's the next one. How do we break the word game of casting spells? I go through this a lot, especially with the teachers, with the followers of Dr. York. They get caught up on these definitions. It's not the word, that definition of the word, that puts you under the spell. This is why, as you go through the technical divisions, they change in the meanings for these words. See? When you're dealing with a computer that bit me something else, then you've been bit by a dog. They change the meaning of the words. See? This is how they take the spell off the words, by changing the meaning. It's like our children. You know, nigger used to be the most terrible negative thought word in the world for us. The children changed it. Now they say nigger. You see what I'm saying? Because now it becomes a term of endearment for them. for they changed the meaning of the word, that negative spell that was associated to it is not with them. It's like the term black. At one time when I was little, I was, don't you call me black. Black was a bad term. You look it up in a dictionary, solemn, gloomy, dismal, mad, negro, all this was associated with black. So nobody really wanted to be black, especially when I was little. You call somebody black, you're supposed to get punched in the mouth. We changed the definition of the word. Now, those people who can't step up and accept the new definitions that we're given to these words, you just have to leave them alone. You can't argue with them. Well, black means this and black means that. No, that's what the 1% told you it means. You want to know what black really means? Come into the hood and ask us. Black has become a term of endearment for people who are being persecuted by white folks or by the establishment. That's what black means in our community when we say black. And we united under that particular word. That's how we did it. You see what I'm saying? They throw the term melanin out there. I don't like the term melanin because now that becomes racial. Because the more melanin you have, the more better you are. The less melanin you have, so they're right back into the same thought process, see? But the way we use the term black, it wasn't about one person being darker than the other. If you had any melanin whatsoever, then you were considered black. And we rolled like that. Because we changed the definition of the word. And that's what you have to start doing. You have to change some of these definitions to some of these words because that's where the spell is coming from. The spell is coming from the definition of the word. And I have to take my hands off to the children. Just like we changed the term black from negative to positive, they changed the term negro from negative to positive. So the spell is not the word, it's the definition, okay? Just like Dr. York did something that I thought was pretty good. And legality, when they read your Miranda rights and you say you understand, what you're actually saying is that I accept and stand under jurisdiction of the people that's in control. And so Dr. York come up with overstanding. He changed the definition of the word. That takes the spell out the word. Follow what I'm saying? Although they're really using the word, they're not using the word properly, but we only got a couple minutes here. But when you say you overstand, that means you disagree with what the person's saying. You stand over that because you have another reality. So when they ask you, do you understand, when they read the Miranda right, you say, no, you overstand because you disagree with that. So when somebody asks you, do you understand, do you overstand, a lot of them aren't using the term properly because they're taking it from legal into the social. When you get into the social, it gets a little different. So when you ask somebody, do you understand, that means they're standing under whatever you're telling them and they accept what you're saying. But if they overstand, they don't accept what you're saying, and they have another reality for you. That's how it's supposed to go. You follow what I'm saying? So when somebody asks me, do I understand? If I agree with what they're saying, sure I understand because I stand under what you're saying. But if I don't agree with what they're saying, no, I overstand that. Listen, this is what I deal with, okay? So it's how they cast in a spell on words. It's not I'm running out of time here, so I'm not going to be able to go through everything. But I would like to stop right for a minute and thank everybody that's on the line. I thank those that have been listening. I appreciate you being here because it don't seem like I'm giving out the message just over the empty air. You're here. I know you're listening. Even though you don't say anything, that's great. That's fine, too. You know, whenever you have a question, all you got to hit one. And after I do the commercial, any questions you have, you can just I got about 90 seconds left. So, we got slavery, technology, and division. I was supposed to go through those things, but who's causing, why are the 99% failing? So I'm just going to give you the questions, and you can look up the answers, and maybe you can find something on it, and we can talk about it next week a little bit. Why are the 99% failing? Who's causing them to fail? How are they causing them to fail? Those are the next three questions that I was going to go through. So I'm throwing those questions at you, and you can think about those questions and go through it. But religion is very important because you're realigning your thought process to whatever teachings that you agree to believe in. So watch how you realign your thought process and be careful what you're attaching your beliefs to, what you're attaching your belief to, okay? Try to verify as much as you can before you act down and believe in it, okay? Now, so I only got about 22 seconds here. I just want to give another shout out for my sister who made a transition a couple of days ago, and I just want to tell her that I love her. She's listening, and just remember that love is the act that makes others feel good. And I love you. Thank you for being on the line, and peace. I'll talk to you next week.